This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the best lecture series. Lessons and talks on various Islamic topics.
Today's program:
an overview of Islamic social services with Dr. Ahmad Saqr.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mawala. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي قل ان صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له بذلك امرت ان اول مسلمين. My dear respected sisters and brothers, I greet you with the greeting of Islam, and I say to all of you this morning individually and collectively, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave us this golden opportunity to share our commonalities and our concerns and to work together as a team in this country as pioneers in this field. The other social services: education, lectures to Muslims, and most of the lectures to the Muslims are in the masjid, but Muslims don't come to the masjid. And Muslims have told the women, you are not supposed to enter the masjid. How could you dare to enter masjid? So they made two doors, one for men, one for women. So you are behind the curtain, because your shadow is haram to look at a woman with the shadow. But outside, in the university, in the grocery store, department store, whatever is halal, but inside is haram. You want more? I can tell you more. Now, since we are talking halal and haram, would you allow a Muslim sister, you sisters, huh? Not the brother, if you are in your monthly period, is it okay to enter the masjid? How many say yes? How many say no? Yes? 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 How many say no? No, no, no.
In the certain area of the masjid.
What certain area? Masjid is a masjid. Masjid is a masjid. Would you allow? Another question. Okay, we'll come. Another question. I'm glad that you are on the Would you allow a Muslim sister in her monthly period to read Quran? Touch the Quran and read the Quran. Touch.
Yes.
Yes.
It's all right?
You know, when we come to Islamic Sharia course, there is something called haram, haram qat'i, haram ihtiyati. Haram, absolute, and the other is preventive. The absolute, like touching alcohol, no. Selling alcohol, no. Sitting in a table where there is alcohol, no. Producing it for alcohol, no. That's absolute, no doubt. Pornography, no. Prostitution, no. Adultery, no. All these haram, absolute. Yes or no?
Yes.
Preventive, there are certain issues in fiqh mas'ala that you don't do it because of preventive. So the early Muslims, out of preventive measures, said no. No touching Quran, no reading Quran, no entering the masjid, no, no, because there were no hygienes enough to allow them to come to the masjid. Maybe blood will come, and then the masjid will be dirty with the blood. Maybe her hand, because there was no water at that time to clean her, so touching Quran will be all this. In the Muslim world, where there are Islamic schooling for girls, they tell them that time when there is no water, have gloves and touch the Quran in order not to spoil it. So you can touch the Quran, you can read the Quran, as long as your hands are clean. And you know, here in America, not only Now, can you come to the masjid? I said, yes, you can come to the masjid because there is hygiene, there is enough cleanliness in this part of the world, there is nothing. Which is better? You go to every department store, it's halal, but masjid, no, no. Come to the masjid and listen to somebody who will inspire you, motivate you, and maybe one verse or one hadith may lead you to Jannah the rest of your life. But by hiding you, where is every street there is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar? Where is in every house there is a channel TV and radio channel on Islam, Islam, Islam? We don't have it. All this is preventive measures. No, 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 no. But they say, but Quran says, لَا يَمَسُّوا إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ. Quran, nobody is supposed to touch it unless you are tahir. I said, but did you read Ibn Kathir what he says about this tafsir? Three levels of tafsir. Three levels. Level number one, what we are talking, touching physically. Level number two, the Quran is not this ink on paper. The Quran is in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, upstairs in the upper heaven. No jinn can go up to steal the information from the upper heaven because it's been protected by angels. And any jinn who wants to go and steal the information, meteorites, you know the meteorites, every night we see them. These meteorites, although physically, physics, we say because of the planets are turning counterclockwise, they are shedding meteorites. But what for? Quran says these meteorites are to burn the jinn who are trying to steal the information. So any arraf, you know what is arraf? Arraf is the one fortune teller or maulana who makes ta'weezah and bring the information from the jinn, whether good or bad jinn, haram, haram, haram. So he wants to jinn bring information, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the meteorite to burn those jinn. So no jinn can touch the Quran to steal the information from up. That's level number two. لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. Only the angels protecting. Level number three, description in Ibn Kathir says, Quran explain itself. It doesn't need me or anybody to explain it. There is an ayah in the Quran which says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Those good people like you, when shaitan comes to you to touch you, to sway you, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, he runs away. So he wants to touch you by swaying you, by telling you to do something haram. And therefore, Quran cannot, that's the most important, Quran cannot touch your heart unless you are honest and sincere and seeking the truth. There is a hadith that because of your honesty and sincerity and nobility, Allah sent you an angel from heaven on behalf of Allah to shake hands with you, to tell you how much Allah is happy with you. You want more? In Laylatul Qadr, not any angel, is the chief of all the angels, the hadith says, Jibreel alayhi salam. Why in the world Jibreel alayhi salam has to come in Laylatul Qadr? إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Who is الروحُ? Jibreel. What for? Jibreel is the chief of all of them to give them instruction and to supervise what they are doing. He said, you Jibreel also go and shake hands with these number of individuals on my behalf because I'm proud of them. You feel good, people. If you feel it in Ramadan, Laylatul Qadr, then Jibreel alayhi salam came to you. The Quran will never touch your heart to shake you and to mold you and to abide by the teaching of Allah unless and until you are honest and sincere. Now, therefore, we need to give lectures to Muslims and we need to give lectures to non-Muslims.
You are listening to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr. We will be back after this short break.
Sponsor a program on the Islamic Broadcasting Network, IBN. Expose your organization or business name to the listeners of IBN in the Washington, D.C. metro area and nationwide and worldwide through our live internet broadcast. Support IBN Dawah efforts. Make the call and sponsor a program today. Get your name into thousands of homes nationwide and worldwide. For more information, call IBN at 703-241-9659.
He's lazy. She's stupid. He's a racist. That one's greedy. And there's a terrorist.
If you look at people and all you see are labels, everyone loses.
Labels hurt all of us, and they're wrong.
Every one of us is unique, a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original. Our diversity is our strength. Instead of stereotyping, we can all learn from each other.
Don't let prejudice shape your view. Take the time to get to know people and see for yourself who they really are.
We are all one, one of a kind.
Stereotyping is wrong, and it hurts all of us. Stop stereotyping.
A message from your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Welcome back to the Best Lecture Series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr.
Yes.
The zakat topic. I have a question. That can you give the money, zakat money, for building of an Islamic institute?
I'm glad that you asked this question. This has been asked many times. If you go to the book of Fiqh Sunnah, Sayyid Sabiq, which he inculcated the four schools of thought, Hanafi, Maliki, Hanbali, Shafi'i, and sometimes Ja'fari Shi'i. And he said, yes, you can build a masjid, you can build a school, you can give a scholarship for students, you can give a scholarship for imams or salary for imam in non-Muslim countries to make the da'wah of Allah. But our Muslims in the Muslim world say, who come here, say, no, no, no. I said, khalas, no, no, no.
That's why I brought this topic.
No. I have heard this question 100 times, and even 2 days before I came, somebody asked me, because they want to buy a building, can we put zakat in that building to buy it and make it a masjid? I said, yes, if you don't believe me, go and read those books. If you don't want, it's your business. You see, people have told us, no, no, no. They never told us, yes, yes, yes. And every time you want to do something, no, no, no. Like, I mean, you don't have to come to the masjid, even if you are not in your monthly period, even if you have the hijab, even you have the shadow of a woman, they say, no, no, no. So, how in the world they say, no, no, no? In the masjid, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his life, you know what Aisha used to say, radiallahu anha? The man and the woman were behind each other, no blockade. And most of the men have short thawb. You know the kurta, short, their legs are shown. And even when they make sajda, all the legs are being shown. She used to say, when they are making sajda and now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming up to stand up, everybody has to stand up. We did not stand up till every man stood up, so as when we are raising our hands, our eyes will not hit at their legs. Because they had short thawb. Go and read chapter 15, ayah 28 or so. There is chapter 13, Al-Ra'd, no, Al-Hijr, sorry, Al-Hijr. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَقْدِمِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَأْخِرِينَ Allah is saying in that ayah, in that surah, I know exactly who among you is sitting in the front line and who wants to sit in the back seat of the salat. Because some of them want to insist to sit in the last row close to the woman, so to look at the woman and enjoy the beauty of the woman. He said, I know you. I know what you are doing. There was no partition. But now, even with partition, they make a big fuss for you. Because we are not educated in Sharia, in history, in seerah, in hadith, in fiqh, in anything. Now, the lecture to non-Muslims, I don't know how many of us are involved in it. We are involved in it every week. Yes? Raise your voice.
So as I understand you, you said that during menstruation, the Quran can be touched if necessary. And
to be read.
Yeah, touched and read. So that we don't have to do wudu.
Wudu is for salat.
No, as long as you're clean, suppose you're not menstruating, can you still touch the Quran without the wudu?
I mean, if you are not in the monthly period, and there is no janaba, you know janaba, junub, mean no relationship between husband and wife. In order to get the maximum credit, we have to be clean, wudu,
and sitting toward Kaaba in a noble way. That then you get the maximum. Otherwise, you can read without wudu. You can do anything you want to do. But if you can make the wudu and you don't say, I don't want because laziness, so instead of getting A, I'll get B. You want A plus plus, do the maximum. You want less, do the... But the beauty of Islam did not object anything and everything that you are to do to be close to Allah. Yes or no? Is it okay now? Do whatever you want. Don't believe me. Do whatever you want. But in the day of judgment, Allah is going to tell us, how come you had a golden opportunity and you declined because you were scared? And scared of what? Put the tape recorder and listen to Quran. When you are driving your car, listen to Quran. Anything and everything. Listen as much as you possible in order to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You are listening to the best lecture series. We will be back after this short break.
Abu al-Wafa al-Buzjani was born in Buzjan, Nishapur, in the year 940. He migrated to Iraq in 959 and lived there until his death. He mainly contributed to mathematics, especially in the branches of geometry and trigonometry. In trigonometry, he developed relations for sine A plus B and other different formulas. He also calculated a table of tangents. Abu al-Wafa also contributed to astronomy. He was also one of the last translators and commentators on Greek works. He wrote a book called Kitab Ilm al-Hisab, or the Book of Knowledge on Arithmetic, Al-Kitab al-Kamil, or the Complete Book, and also Kitab al-Hendasa, or Applied Geometry. Abu al-Wafa died at 57 years old. This has been A Minute of Muslim Civilization from IBN.
This is Voyager 2. Its journey will take it to the furthest reaches of our solar system to collect information to help scientists learn more about ourselves and the worlds beyond. Future scientists like little Miriam. You see, Miriam is learning that the search for knowledge never ends, and she's getting an early start on a journey that should last a lifetime. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. This message has been brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
We're back with Dr. Ahmed Sakr, your host for the Best Lecture Series.
Now, lecture to non-Muslims. We have, by the way, a whole series of document on overhead. Welcome to the world of Islam. It takes an hour or two whenever we have a group of non-Muslims and we show them. If you are interested, we can mail it to you and then you benefit to it because you know it, but it is sequentially, step by step, to make it easy. Writing books. My love for all of you. How many books each one of you have written? Aren't you supposed to write? Articles, yes, in your field. But something more. Poor Muhammad, he should. I will never excuse you by not having written any book. You tell me I'm overloaded with too many social services. I said, hide yourself an hour or two a day to write something. Put one chapter at a time or article after article. After 6 months to 1 year, you are going to find that, mashallah, it's a book form. I'm telling even your youth, your boys and girls, the teenagers or college students, please, each one of you, give me an article. I will edit them. I'll put them later on in a book form and then publish it. You are the authors. I'm the editor only. Is it not good? I'll tell you also, you, today, in a week time, if you, all of you, send me one article in your field, which has Islamicity also, why not we put it in a book and the out product of this workshop will be a book. Yes or no? They are thinking, huh? Seriously. It's up to you. The editing, proofreading, homeschooling. We have now a good number of sisters are doing homeschooling for their children. Have the Quran schooling. Now, a good number of families, they want their children to be sent to Hifz al-Quran schooling. I don't know if you have this situation. A good number of kids in our neighborhood have been sent to Toronto, New York, Chicago, other places, from their families. 10, 12 years old for the sake of Hafz al-Quran. So we are also planning to open a school of Hafz al-Quran. You will see literature outside. We have left it. It might help you if you want to do it. Spiritual services. How many of you can give Friday khutbahs, brothers? And how many of you sisters, when you are listening to the brothers, you are knowledgeable enough to know whether he is making a mistake or not? If he's making a mistake or not in the khutbah. How many of you, when you want to give khutbah, you say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, O you who believe, fasting so and so and so. Allah never said, O you who believe. Did Allah say, O you who believe? Allah never used in the Quran, O you who believe. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu. So unless and until you memorize the ayah as is, and the hadith as is from such surah, and from the hadith, an'ana, sanad and matan, you tell me what is sanad, what is matan. I say, come and take the course of sharia, then we'll discuss all this in detail. Otherwise, how can I give khutbah jum'ah? And khutbah jum'ah should not be given to anybody unless he reached the upper level of graduation in Islamic sharia. And anyone who's been trained, don't put him to give khutbah jum'ah. Give him any talk, any lecture, but not khutbah jum'ah. The very last, when he is really reached professionalism, then give him khutbah jum'ah to a small group, a student on campus, to train himself. Our Muslims sometimes, out of excitement, they give anybody khutbah jum'ah and they don't know how to give khutbah jum'ah. Even brand new Muslims. Huh? Brand new Muslim. I still remember in Michigan, one of the cities without mentioning it, they brought one of the top-notch lawyer who became a Muslim in America. And they gave him khutbah jum'ah. Whatever he gave. When he started reading Quran, he made mistakes. The Arab told him, subhanallah. The Indo-Pakistani told him, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, subhanallah. He made mistake. When somebody tells the imam, subhanallah, means you made a mistake, correct it. Or Allahu Akbar, you made mistake, correct. He didn't know what they are talking about. He left the salat. He told them, what do you want? So the whole salat is now zero. I said to that imam, who has a PhD from Azhar, a graduate, I said, it's your mistake. Who told you to put him in the khutbah jum'ah? Is not for everybody, it's for selected. In the Islamic history, khutbah jum'ah for the Khalifa. And the Khalifa to delegate whoever he wants from the graduate, like the Grand Mufti, he's supposed to give the khutbah jum'ah. He cannot give it in every masjid, so he will delegate the chosen people whom he knows they are fit for it. In Chicago, we're training some Khatib Jum'ah college student. Unfortunately, although we gave them the kurta, the cap, everything. Poor that fellow, when he came to give khutbah Jum'ah and he put the gown and everything, we found in the crowd, he brought with him his girlfriend to show her that he is giving Friday khutbah. You crazy boy! We are training you to be Khatib Jum'ah. You have a girlfriend and you bring her also to the Jum'ah even to show her that you are Imam. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So what I'm saying, Khatib al-Jum'ah is not to be given to anybody and everybody unless you are sure what he is going to deliver. That's the minbar, the pulpit, is for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not for us. And you are to represent Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's very sensitive. Prepare yourself for Ramadan and prepare yourself for Hajj workshop. We have so many of these written and we did it. Leading Salat, how to make dua for different occasions. Now, different occasions. I was planning to get you dua for different occasions, except today I brought you some. I made 50 copies. The first one, since the hour is going to be over, here is. If you want to distribute them, I would appreciate it. In the first dua, when you want to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so as Allah will listen to you, you have to call upon Allah with His al-ism al-a'zam. What is al-ism al-a'zam to Allah? Allah is His name. And Allah has 99 beautiful names, Asma illa al-husna. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you call upon Him with all His Asma al-husna, one of His Asma al-Husna is Al-Ism al-Azam. He will answer you. If you don't know all of them to memorize them, he said, call upon Him with His Ism al-Azam. Then He will answer you. They said, Ya Aisha, what is that? Ism al-Azam. She said, didn't you read it three times in the Quran? In Ayatul Kursi, you read it, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa الحي القيوم. Haven't you read it in chapter 3 آل عمران؟ ألف لام ميم. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. Haven't you read it also in سورة طه؟ وعانة الوجود للحي القيوم. Therefore when you call upon Allah يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث, He will answer your dua. Then do whatever you want. Talk to Him whatever you want. But start every now and then say يا حي يا قيوم. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث. He will give you whatever you want. The second one is dua يونس عليه السلام, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك أني كنت من الظالمين. Anyone who calls upon that, Allah will answer your dua. So with this, we'll give you a chance now for the first two sessions. We mix them together because of the latecomers. And I hope from now on we'll come on time and then we start doing our homework. But we did not finish the other one, number 12, other social services solving problem outside the court. We had to bring case after case from the court, outside the court, finishing, bringing cases from court to be solved. Senior citizens, up till now we don't have senior citizens places, and we don't have the homeless. Now in LA, some families starting doing this for the homeless, and they have three, four houses to allow the homeless Muslims to live there. And finally, other social services, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, child abuse, women abuse, immigration for sponsorship. And we are seeing so many problems of this nature. And final remark, counseling workshops. We should like this now, what we are doing today and tomorrow, the counseling workshop, which we are going to get involved in it. But there is non-profit organization for social services, legislative system in favor of Muslim and Islam in this part of the world. We should be working on it toward it. God bless you and reward you, inshallah. And if anybody has any comment, any advice, anything, please let us know.
You are listening to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr. We will be back after this short break.
He's lazy. She's stupid. He's a racist. That one's greedy. And there's a terrorist.
If you look at people and all you see are labels, everyone loses.
Labels hurt all of us and they're wrong.
Every one of us is unique, a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original. Our diversity is our strength. Instead of stereotyping, we can all learn from each other.
Don't let prejudice shape your view. Take the time to get to know people and see for yourself who they really are.
We are all one, one of a kind.
Stereotyping is wrong and it hurts all of us. Stop stereotyping.
A message from your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
These are the mothers of the world. They raise every new generation. They...
Pardon me.
Yes?
What about the nagging?
Nagging?
Take out the garbage. Do your homework.
She's helping you build good character, teaching you things like responsibility, trustworthiness, honor, compassion, integrity.
Okay, okay.
And because she loves you.
I know you're gonna say that.
Kindness to mothers is a gateway to paradise. Have you shown her love today? This message has been brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr.
Yes, Akhi.
I'm sure you must have heard this question many, many times, especially you know in that our part of the world, India, Pakistan. Before giving zakat, you know, like always given the impression that you must tell that person that you're giving zakat money.
Wallahi, where in the Quran or Hadith or Sirah or Fiqh say I have to tell you this money is halal? Maybe it's not halal. And to tell him zakat, it may not be also halal. Why in the world I have to tell somebody, degrade him, I am better than him, I have more money, you don't have money. You are the recipient, I'm the donor. Say, Yaqi, this is hadiyah, gift from Allah. Now somebody, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never received zakat or sadaqah. He used to say, is this sadaqah? No. Zakat? No. If it is gift, I'll take it. See, it's a respect. When I say to somebody, this is a gift from Allah, not from me. You know, in Lugha Arabia, I say, min Allahi wa ila Allah. This gift is from Allah, back to Allah. It's not from me, from him. Yes.
The same token, if that person asks you whether this is a God money, then what you should do?
If he says, say, ya akhi, it's a gift from Allah. I don't want to degrade the recipient, you see. When somebody is a recipient, I feel shy if I am in his position to receive any sadaqah or zakat. يوم لكم ويوم عليكم وتلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس. One day is for you, one day is against you. Would you like some time when you are in need of money, when somebody give you, tell you this is zakat, you feel insulted. But when he tells you it's a gift, not from me, from who? From Allah, back to Allah. Huh? I said this is a gift from Allah, would you refuse it? No. Back to Allah, so make dua for me, that's it. Is it not the dignity of the recipient should be looked for psychologically, akhi? Yeah. Because one time you come, you are billionaire, another day you are bankrupt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom wants you to test you how far, so as not to brag all your life, I'm rich, 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 rich. He said, sometime I want to make you not rich. And I will make you to, your license will be taken away from you. God forbid, when your license is out of you, so you have nothing. You cannot make money, you cannot. So what you do? Find another job. Till you find another job, you lost all your money. For 1 year, you couldn't find a job. Till you re-establish yourself. Is it not true so many medical doctors' license were taken away from them? Even some Muslims that you know, I know also. So I'm saying, out of love and respect, let's not insult each other by degrading, well, I'm giving you sadaqah, I'm giving you zakat. Yes.
I missed a point. I want a clarification for the house of Allah, for the masjid.
Yes.
Can we use that?
Yes. Yes, you can. You can use it if you want. If you don't want, don't. My understanding, yes. Because who's going to build the masjid? From where? You see. During Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, the fifth Khalifa, he collected zakat. He gave plenty of zakat. What to do with it, ya Khalifa? He said, go and build all the, musafir khani. Yani, mitl motels. And from Indonesia to Morocco. And still they came back and said, with plenty of money. What to do with zakat? He said, give it to every young man who wants to get married for the mahr and the walima. Nobody should stay without marriage. More? Still money. Plenty of money. What to do? He said, put the water sabil on the freeway, so-called. So as all the musafir khane will find water everywhere they go. Still more, give it to non-Muslims. Would you give zakat to non-Muslims? He gave them to non-Muslims. He said, they are our citizens. And therefore, even you can do it for da'wah. If you read the book of Fiqh Sunnah for all the schools of thought, he says, even for da'wah to any employee to make da'wah imams and the school and whatnot. If you don't want, don't pay. Who's going to build masjid for us? This money that Allah gave it to you and this aql that Allah bestowed upon you to have a degree, highly educated, don't you want to show your thanks to Allah? Give everything. Early Muslims used to give zakat before they made the business. Before the business started, they paid the zakat in advance. And you know the story. One in the Medina, was the news came in that from Syria, big Syria, Bilad al-Sham, that the whole series of caravans were stolen. One man, businessman in Medina, he said, accept my business. He said, crazy, how did you know? He said, I will let you know how. Did you see them? No. But conviction, I know that my business, my caravan was not stolen. Ajib, how can? When the whole series of caravan came, all of them were stolen except his. They asked the people, what happened to you? You said somebody, before we were stolen, his group of camels lost the way. After everything was lost from us, stolen from us, his caravan came back and joined us. He said, what did you do to Allah so that Allah protected your camels from being stolen? He said, I paid zakat in advance. Before that business came to me to sell it, I made zakat in advance. So if you want Allah to protect your health and your children and your degree and your everything, pay zakat even in advance. And the early fuqaha used to say, don't wait for Ramadan to pay zakat. pay it on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis, because you don't know whether you live for another year. It's up to you. You delay, delay. But even in the last 10 days of Zulhijjah, in the first 10 days, you know, first 10 days of Zulhijjah, I mean the Hajj, that is the time that even if you pay money, is equal like Ramadan, Zakat. Now, what did Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say about Muharram? We don't know. What did he say in the first 10 days of Muharram other than Ashura, other than... Whoever is going to be generous on himself and his family, and his family is not only husband, wife and children, his family, even the extended members of the family, and even in some school of thought they say, the whole Muslim Ummah, whoever says La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is your family. So whoever is going to be generous on the Muslim family, Allah is going to, in these 10 days of Muharram, Allah is going to be so generous upon you the rest of the year. The rest of the year, you are going to see generosity of Allah upon you if you are being generous this 10 days of Muharram. We'll talk more about it.
You are listening to the best lecture series. We will be back after this short break.
If the way you dress expresses how you feel, and your dress speaks about you, then your dress not only makes a statement, but it is an important part of your identity. These are American Muslim women. Their dress reflects their faith and their belief in modesty. This message has been brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation. IBN is your voice. Let us know what you think of our broadcast. Email us at feedback@ibn.net or call our feedback line at 703-241-9659, extension 6. Your opinion counts.
Welcome back to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr.
Any question? Now it's 11:30. It's up to you. Yes?
Ready for adoption, a lot of times you do not know the background of the children, what is called blind adoption. What are you supposed to do?
It's part of the American illegitimate society. Most of the society here is corrupt to start with. If you are in a Muslim country, you have to know. Unless now the vulgarity in the Muslim world is going on high and high. And unfortunately also, I don't know who's who now from your background, in the Shia group, they have the mut'ah. You know, mut'ah, temporary marriage. And sometimes they have the mut'ah and then they leave the child with the mother, or the mother leave also the child. The child will be illegitimate, thrown in the street. Now they are having this problem in Detroit and Dearborn because a sizable number of Shia, Arab Shia are there, and they are doing it. And now they are, the government is suing any and everybody who practice this practice and throwing the children in the street. And any imam who officiate marriage without recording it in the city, they'll charge him $25,000 and take the license from him. I mean, in Beirut, unfortunately, because of so many Shia migrated to the capital city, they are seeing this. And they are throwing their infant in the street, for the Sunnah will take them and put them in their own orphanage houses. So when you see that type, it's a crisis that we should clean it to start with, rather than cosmetics. You medical doctors, you try to diagnose the disease to give the true medicine. So the disease is to have true marriage and good families. Then we don't have this illegitimate children being thrown in the street. and to allow the your children to get married as soon as possible rather than grow up, and to make the mahar as simple as possible and the walimima as simple as possible, then we don't have to go for boyfriend, girlfriend, and then abortion on one side. There are some Muslim girls who are aborting because illegitimate, unfortunately. And therefore, because of the whole situation, we cannot cover cosmetic. We have to clean it from the source. Now, if illegitimate, and you want, and you didn't know whose parents are, still when they are growing in this country, they are looking for their biological parents. You have read so many times. They are looking for their biological parent out of curiosity. It's a human nature. You go to any zoo, they show you the heritage of that animal for 10 generations. I don't know how many times you went to a zoo and you look for the lineage of the animal, 10 generations. In California, Cal Poly University is one of the famous universities in the world. They have the most expensive Arabian horses. Their progeny is known for 150 years. And each horse is maybe $500,000 because of purity of the gene. Do you know your 10 generations parents? None of us. Now, by the way, all of us, do you have family tree for your children and grandchildren 100 years from today? So as people will say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. May Allah bless those sisters who came to America and brought me Aiha. Oh, mashallah, their name is Fatima, Zainab, Khadija, Suraya, and Aziza, and whatnot. We don't know. So my love for you, my respect for you, and it's a problem. You want to adopt, adopt, but you have to tell the child when he grows, I am your foster father or mother. I'm not your brother, but because you were thrown in the street or in homeless, whatever, I felt sympathy for you, I took care of you. However, a foster child or adopted child, let's talk as foster now, he has no right to inherit you, but out of sympathy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you another way. Islam allows the parents to allocate maximum one third of your inheritance to be given anywhere else, not to one person only. You can give it to 10 people or to a masjid or to anywhere in the world. In order not to allow your children or the family to inherit everything, and they may not do dua maghira for you, they may take the money, go to Las Vegas or God knows, and therefore it's better that you also allocate certain amount of the percentage to. And what you should do, medical doctors, I'm sure you have heard it so many times during IMA and ISNA and ICNA and whatnot, that you should go and have living trust.
You are listening to the best lecture series. We will be back after this short break.
This is Yusuf Estes speaking to you on behalf of the Islamic Broadcasting Network, a subsidiary of the Islamic Media Foundation. We would like at the Islam Today Project to endorse and encourage all of us to contribute to this wonderful project. After all, we in America need to have our voice, and IBN is the voice of American Muslims. Your contribution of a single dollar per day will help keep IBN on the air. As long as Islamic Broadcasting Network is on the air, you'll be able to hear the voice of Yusuf Estes on Islam Today. So we have a vested interest, more than one way, to keep IBN on the air and the voice of American Muslims. Seriously, I want to let you know that I personally have made my commitment to the $1 a day to help keep Islamic Broadcasting Network broadcasting. And I'd hope that you'll do the same thing. It's a simple dollar. A cup of coffee, a Pepsi, and it's only $1. Make the commitment now. Go to the internet, type in IBN.net, and see how you can make your contribution through the internet, or call. Pick up the telephone and call 703-241-9659. Let me repeat the number again. If you're driving, don't have a wreck, you can go to the internet and get it there. 703-241-9659. It's a dollar a day. It keeps IBN out there on the air for American Muslims. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah.
The following is NBA star Hakeem Olajuwon.
If we live within the boundaries of one race, one culture, one way of doing things, we limit our ability to understand the wisdom we can learn from each other. Our ethnic and cultural diversity is a blessing that teaches us that it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It's the goodness in your heart that makes the difference.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
We're back with Dr. Ahmed Sakr, your host for the Best Lecture Series.
Living Trust will make you to donate as much as you want, then insure it, then it comes back to your children after death. While that money is still in the hands of the custody of the masjid, part of the property of the masjid, but after death, life insurance on that amount, $1 million, comes back to your children. So you didn't lose a penny. So 1 million for the masjid, 1 million for your family, out of 1 million. Living Trust, this is American system. It's not our system, it's their system. They allow it for you. Use it, and you make double and triple while alive, while you are dead. But you need somebody to explain it in detail, not now.
But some people question that when you're raising the foster children in one household, can you raise a boy and a girl? And
that's the tricky point that we have been asked many, many times. Biologically, he's not your son, suppose, or a girl, okay. Biologically, she is not your daughter. Biologically, your son is living in your house. She is not biologically your daughter. He has the right to marry her. So what should you do? She is very, very sensitive. For that reason, Islam encouraged early marriage for the girls, especially for a foster girl. But here, you cannot allow any boy or girl to marry below the age of 18. We had officiated marriages, 16 years old girls, but you have to take her for counseling. We had to counsel her and show her 6 hours or 9 hours, depends from state to state, before marriage. And it happens. But I'm saying it's very sad. These are the exceptional cases in the society that we are facing, and we have to find solution for them. We encourage fostering, yes, but also modesty. Otherwise, there will be adultery, there will be fornication, there will be sex involvement and whatnot, and so on. But, you know, modesty, even Islam says the dress of a woman with modesty. Even man should not expose his flesh. Although there is limit, but I will never encourage any brother to come with the minimum. He should come and attend with the maximum. You know with the maximum? The maximum is maximum, I mean. Cover yourself. Nothing is shown except your face, your beard, your... So I'm saying because we are sitting in a jama'ah of biologically two entities, and therefore, and as much as we demand from our sister to dress with modesty, we expect the brothers to be the same thing. Yes, Sahi.
Question. Is it permissible to donate your body organs after death?
This question has been raised so many times, not only IMA, but even International Islamic Medical Association in Mecca, in Cairo, in Karachi, with all the Muslim fuqaha and medical doctor. The conclusion came from the Muslim scholars, you have the right to donate. You are not obliged to do. In Singapore, the Grand Mufti there refused, because in Singapore they have a problem of kidney donation. They have a problem of kidney, majority. Why? I don't know. Either the food or the water and the atmosphere. So they made everybody to do. The Grand Mufti said, no, we do not. Because we don't want to give our organ to non-Muslim. Last year, I saw that they changed their fatwa and said, yes, you have the right to donate if you want to donate. Because they said, if you don't donate, when you are in trouble, who's going to donate it for you? It's a two-way street. So they allowed them. But I know, I read the fatwa from Mecca, from those Muslim scholars who met from different parts of the world, because they meet their fuqaha And they said it's allowed. But those fuqaha, they do not give fatwa without the medical doctors, Muslim. They come and tell them what does it mean medically. Then the mufti gives it according to their understanding from the medical doctors, which is that's the way it has to be. Any fatwa has to be given by the mufti after he listens to the specialized people. If the specialized people are not there, he doesn't know. And therefore, we Muslims have to integrate ourselves. We should bring the imam. We have to bring the psychologist, the psychiatrist, the OB-GYN, the pediatrician, all sitting at one time. Even we need also somebody in the physical astronomy and whatnot, biology, anything, to let us know more. Chemistry, nutrition, what? Otherwise, how can we understand? How can we give a fatwa when we don't understand? What does it mean? Yes?
Wa alaykum salam.
You're talking on the same aspect of the donation. If it's a living donor, for example, you know, somebody's elder brother, sister, who has a big family, small children, they're going to have kidney failure. Would that be denied?
No. What? If I want to donate my kidney, no? Well, I'm alive.
Yeah. According to the fifth one.
Yeah, I have the right to do whatever I want, as long as I'm giving it to help somebody, as long as I am not going to hurt myself. I can, if the medical doctors say I can survive with one kidney, I can give another kidney to another Muslim anywhere in the world, even my relative or not. What's wrong with it? But if you want to oblige me, no. If it is my choice, yeah. And the more I am spiritually elated, the more socially I am inclined to help others, the more I feel the sympathy I should help. When I help, you think Allah is not going to help me? No. Allah will help me more, inshallah. Yes?
I had a question pertaining to the educational services.
Yes.
Because schools here, they have a lot of social services, school counseling, and
yes.
You know, that is.
You mean public school or Muslim school?
Public.
Yes.
And the real problems, you know, the symptoms start with the schools where children really show the problems at home. So would your session include a little of that?
Well, if you want, whenever all what we are going to do today and tomorrow is family counseling. But I brought these varieties of social services to let you know it's not only family. Although the concept that I was told is family counseling, but if you want to include any other, sir, I'll be honored because I'm living with it every day.
Because I work in an Islamic school and we have children from intercultural marriages, you know, like interracial American, non-American. So,
but all of them are Muslims?
Yes, Muslims, but mothers may not be Muslim, mothers who are Americans.
Yeah,
you know. So the problems that the children go through facing two different cultures.
Yeah. I mean, we are seeing it, even you and me, I mean, culturally, we are from different backgrounds. Are we going to integrate ourselves or not? Up till now, there is also blockade, you know that. They say Arab, Pakistani. Spicy food, or is it a food of Pakistani or a food of Arab? I said, forget about it anymore. Say, this is spicy, this is not spicy. Huh? I know we have still, we are living with this problem because we are first generation immigrant. Most of you are still emotionally want to go back home. And you want, you didn't like it, you came back, you didn't like it, you go back, you didn't like it, you came back. I have seen so many families like this. Establish yourself, there is nothing the best is paradise. Prepare yourself for paradise and that's the best. You have to know that this life is a life of test. When we come to the, by the end of the sessions, I have brought you the idea of depression, anxiety, and test from Allah, and how to solve it, what type of dua you should make in order to get rid of depression and get rid of the jinn and all other things. But today I gave you only these two dua that I distributed them, and then we'll go more and more, inshallah. Let's make dua. After every session, we should make dua. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.